action today.
Always going inside the Beltway because so much news comes out of Washington, D.C. that affects all of us in our own backyards, and we talk about it often here on America Tonight. Each and every show, we feel fortunate to get the real inside scoop. Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Victoria, how you doing?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. I don't have that crud that you have. I had it a couple of weeks ago. So, and all the listeners know, there'd be like this cough break, and I couldn't help myself. I think single-handedly, I have kept the cough drop business afloat. There's maybe wounds I got.
I'm with you, yes.
All right, let's talk about the business at hand in Washington, and really has tongues wagging all over the place, not just in D.C., President Obama is going to be at Facebook. He's going to talk about the deficit and budgets and all that stuff while on the Hill they still wrestle back and forth with those talks. So what can we expect from his town hall, do you think?
Well, I don't think we know exactly because, you know, when they don't have pre-screened questions, so even though they hope to be talking about the debt and the deficit, and I'm sure he'll speak first, which is what he did at the town hall meeting in Annandale, Virginia, at a college today, so I'm sure he'll speak, but then it's open for questions so they can go in any direction. But he wants to jump off his speech last Wednesday on the deficit, which the White House feels was a successful speech where they laid down some real markers on Medicare and Medicaid, where they really said where they would go and where they wouldn't go, and they got a pretty positive reaction from Democrats. So that's, I think, what he wants to jump off, and I think he feels that went down well, and that he can jump off that.
All right, so he is a big story, obviously, being the president, but it was Mrs. Obama, Michelle Obama, that was getting a lot of the buzz all over the place. If you turned on Fox or CNN or just about anything, you would see a crawl coming across the TV. If we took TV, for example, or in radio breaking news, and all you would see is Michelle Obama's plane aborted a landing when a cargo plane got too close. Now, this apparently happened on Monday. What other details do you know, Victoria?
Well, apparently it was a White House plane carrying Michelle, and it came dangerously close to a 200-ton military cargo jet.
Mm.
And it did have to abort its landing at Joint Base Andrews on Monday. And it was the result of an air traffic controller's mistake. And basically, they feared that the cargo jet would not clear the runway in time. And so what they said was, because of they thought the cargo jet wouldn't clear the runway in time, they said, okay, well, you're not landing. You're going to have to go round and round and round and round. They were very worried about this because these two planes are supposed to stay 5 miles away from each other, and they were only 3 miles away from each other.
Ooh.
That's very close.
That is very close, especially because her plane, I think, was the plane behind you're talking about, so imagine if they had collided. And
exactly.
That goes back to the same thing with the air traffic controllers, only now we're talking about the military, but still same thing. What was going on? How come they weren't made aware of it? I'm sure we'll find out some more things about that in the upcoming days. BP, a year later, there's a lot of conversation about political contributions given to Republican leaders from British Petroleum, but you say that's not really the story. It's really more about the secret memos.
This is an extraordinary story out of the UK, you know, because at the time of the invasion, or just before the invasion of Iraq, you had these following statements from BP in March 2003. We have no strategic interest in Iraq. I'm summarizing here. We are certainly not pushing for involvement. And then from Shell, you've got any reports they've had meetings were highly inaccurate. We have neither sought nor attended meetings with officials in the UK government on the subject of Iraq. We have never asked for contracts. Then you've got Tony Blair saying the oil conspiracy theory is honestly one of the most absurd when you analyze it. It's not the oil that is the issue, it's the weapons. Well, an oil campaign has spent 5 years and got 1,000 documents, including minutes of meetings between ministers in the government and senior oil executives. And these minutes I mean, British government minutes are pretty good. These minutes basically show the Trade Minister, Baroness Simons, telling the BP that the government believes British energy firms should be given a share of the oil and gas as a reward for Tony Blair's military commitment. It shows that she agreed to lobby the Bush administration on BP's behalf. And it also says that she promised to report back to the companies before Christmas. It also shows that BP was terrified of being locked out, and that BP says being involved in Iraq was more important than anything we've seen for a long time, and it told the government it was willing to take big risks to get a share of the Iraqi reserves. So I mean, these are all lies. What they've said is all lies.
Wow, and so all the secret memos, how was this all hatched? Where was this all hatched from the, you were talking about it, the connection to the UK, but who gets credit for that? For, well, you said he did, what, it take a year? How long to pull all these documents together?
Five years. It was 1,000 documents obtained under the Freedom of Information over there over 5 years. It's an oil campaigner called Greg Muttit. I think that's how you pronounce it. And
yeah.
He's got a book coming out next week called Fuel on Fire. And he's been looking into this and campaigning about this issue for at least 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, I bet that book now, that's got some controversy attached to it. A lot of people are probably going to be talking about it in the next couple of weeks. But we have it here, thanks to Victoria Jones, adding a little bit more from Talk Radio News. Victoria, as always, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you.
All right, a little bit more on the First Lady. We mentioned it there, the aborted landing on Monday after being pretty close to a collision with a 200-ton military cargo jet. You just hear that part of the story and you take a breath. What happened is the First Lady was on The View in New York City, one of those daytime television shows. She was coming back, and she was on a 737. It's one of many of the presidential passenger jets that they've got. And when she was coming into Andrews, the pilot was coming into Andrews, there was just not enough space. As Victoria mentioned, there's supposed to be at least 5 miles, and there was a gap there that was much closer. The FAA requires that 5-mile separation between planes at a lower altitude because of the turbulence naturally off the wings, and it can be pretty dangerous to the planes. Once they realized they were too close, that's when her plane was called off of its landing, and there was a civilian controller, because all this stuff with the air traffic controls, at a place called the Warrington Radar Control Center that allowed the plane to get too close to that C-17 that was just in front of it and created what had to be what they call a series of S-turns to try to increase the distance, but it didn't work. It was too late. They were still too close. So they got her off of the landing before it was too late, worried that it would be just too close. Coming up next on America Tonight, boy, do we have some interesting things for you. Sports shorts. We're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby with my pal TK. He's a real horse racing insider. Also, Stephen Shohet. Talking to him in a few about movies, the epic movies when it comes to Easter. And next, we're talking about going green. Hang with us.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Week is Earth Day, and there's a lot of conversation about going green, how you can become more green, or whether you think green is a bunch of nonsense, which I hope all of you don't think that. I know that there are people that are trying to do things that certainly, if nothing else, save on the bills even when it comes to electricity. Don in Wyoming is always talking about that. So Earth Day on Friday, what's happening in the green revolution? Matt Strong from Class One Solutions joins us. Matt, your company is all about going green, but you have a good line. You say you don't want people to, they can't go broke going green. I think that's a good distinction to make. Tell us what you do and how you try to make it cost effective for your clients.
That's right, Kate. Thank you. Class One is a sustainability consulting firm. So when we go to our clients, large corporations, our primary focus is to help them minimize their impact on the environment. And we have to show the client that that their investment in our product is going to have a payback, because with the economy the way it is, and capital budgets being constrained, we have to we have to show that green is smart. And like you said, my favorite phrase is to say, hey, we can't go broke going green. It in itself has to be sustainable. And as we know, sustainability is basically a focus on preserving the resources, the limited resources of the earth that we have now, so that future generations can enjoy a better quality of life.
And you're talking with you guys, you're on the technology side, on the commercial side, so you kind of run the gamut, am I right?
Yes, that's right. As far as sustainability in corporations, we look at helping them reduce their energy use, their waste generation and improve their recycling. We also look at helping them with their sustainable purchasing. So it's everything from recycled content and paper, recycled toner cartridges, and I mean even down to the chain or implementing, say, LED lighting programs within facilities.
Yeah, and what LED lighting, how much does that cut down for a corporation? Well, let's say you had a corporation that had, I don't know, 300 people that they housed.
Mm-hmm. What we like to use as a good barometer is that it'll typically reduce your lighting energy intensity by about 75%. So let's say you might have a 60-watt incandescent light bulb, just your typical household bulb that you see, and we can reduce that to around 13 watts. So you're talking about a huge drop in energy use there, just lighting.
Yeah. And you also mentioned, I mean, it's little things, too. It's what you were saying, going in and showing people. So the whether it's the paper and the cartridges and all that sort of thing, when if somebody says, ah, well, you know, recycling, just throw it in the bags, and what difference does it make? But that's not true. You can really actually save a bunch of money, can't you, by doing that?
Yeah, we have a client, a large food manufacturing client, that basically has converted their waste stream into a revenue stream. So they have taken, you know, millions of pounds of waste product and diverted it from the landfill, and now they are able to, they're down to about a 1% diversion rate to landfills. And it's just amazing what large corporations can do when they really get serious about sustainability.
Yeah, and when you start with somebody, I mean, we'll take two different scenarios. If you start with somebody from the ground up, then you're working right there, boom, out of the gate on the design. That has to be fun. Have you taken anybody from that level where you started with the design, built the place, the whole thing, did the whole company for them?
Sure. We've worked with clients, and our primary focus is to go in to an existing facility, because that's where we can make the biggest impact. So many of the existing structures today are so inefficient, and just to go in and replace major equipment, we're talking about central plant equipment, chillers, air handlers, motors, just changing those out with higher efficiency units is a huge payback. And that's where we get back to, you know, making green pay for itself. So that's one of the great thrills that we have, and it gives us a lot of satisfaction that we can take a client, or, you know, from its initial steps into green and sustainability, work to implement upgrades within that facility, and then you know, also work with sustainable purchasing and recycle programs, and it's just a great opportunity for us.
And what about, and this is like a, I know that the power argument, wind power, solar panels, what do you suggest there? What do you try to offer up to people?
What we like to do is, number one, throw out, you know, renewables. Sure, everyone likes to see solar panels on roofs, and that makes a statement. But again, we get back to making investments that have good return on investment. And with today's economic climate, large corporations just are not going to spend money without having that payback. So we look definitely at solar if it makes sense. And there's other opportunities for wind. But really what we try to do is go into a facility and look where heat is already being generated, because heat is associated with either natural gas or electricity. And where that is being generated, if we can capture the heat and reuse it elsewhere in a plant or a manufacturing site, that's going to reduce the overall usage that those sites have.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Strong from Class One Solutions. We're talking about going green. That's what his company does, goes in. You've heard the conversation, goes in and shows people how to be more efficient. Give us some tips. What are some things people are listening, and maybe they're not in a corporation that's green, or maybe they're starting to go green, or whatever it might be. But personally, what are some things people can do to help the environment and not kill their budget?
Right. Well, you know what? There's already so many examples of green in everyday life, and it's really becoming commonplace. So we're already doing the online shopping. That's pervasive now, and everybody has taken that on. That's green. We've got online media, the Wall Street Journal, journals, periodicals, magazines. So many of these are going away from print. And online movies, Netflix is out there. Also, some simple things are coming to major metropolitan areas are like Zipcar. There's an IPO this past week of Zipcar that was very successful, and this is basically a local hourly rental program for cars. And there's also bike shares. There's so many offerings now that it's just becoming common.
And, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. When you said the thing about the bicycle and the bike share, I'm from back east, and that's starting to happen a lot in the east where people are doing that. And I love that idea. That's great if you're in a big city, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's all over Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And college campuses. And so it's definitely an up and coming trend, and it makes sense. So to me personally, I see green as, or the success of green is how well we can simplify it. And I tell people on a personal level, don't try to do everything. Just pick a couple of simple programs. Recycle. I live in Dallas, and we have a great single-stream recycling program. And I believe last year they saved 190,000 tons of waste from the landfill. And, that has a huge impact on the environment. So, again, keep it simple. Pick one or two or three things, and then, once you master that, move on and add another.
Yeah, so well said. That's true. It doesn't have to be so overwhelming. Just do the simple things. Keep it simple. Perfect place to end this. Happy Earth Day to you, Matt Strong, Class One Solutions, and thanks for hopping on America Tonight.
Great. Thank you, Kate.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
It's been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports and involves a bunch of three-year-olds. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take 1 weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Every year, the first Saturday in May, all eyes are turned toward Churchill Downs for the oldest horse race in the country. It all started back in 1875 thanks to Colonel Meriwether Lewis Clark, the grandson of William Clark. Remember the Lewis and Clark expedition? He made a jaunt of his own to England and Paris and saw two of the biggest horse racing events at the time. He was hooked, prompting Clark to build Churchill Downs and set up a race of the best three-year-old thoroughbreds. The first Kentucky Derby featured 15 horses. 10,000 people watched. The horse who wins the race has a shot at racing's Triple Crown if they move on to win the Preakness and the Belmont. Affirm was the last horse to do that in 78. The first race of the three is so popular people all over the world hold watching parties where many will sip mint juleps and wear fancy hats. Two of the very biggest traditions spawned from that race in Kentucky. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Ah, yes, indeed. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, we're going to talk about the horses, some of the big ones that are entered in this year's Kentucky Derby, and what they might or might not do. This is crunch time for horse people, so that's coming up in another 15 minutes or so as we race toward the Kentucky Derby, a conversation with T.K. Lawless. Terrific guy, really. I think one of the most knowledgeable horse people around, knows the game and certainly has seen many horses come and go in his day. Each and every Tuesday, we talk to our pal Stephen Shohet from Hollywood Story, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. That's the name of his book, and it's a great, great read. Lots of exactly what the title says, lots and lots of stories. One of the things you'd be certain to read, I'm sure, when we talk about history and we talk about the history of movies and whatnot, Cecil B. DeMille, The Ten Commandments. How many times have you watched that, particularly this time of year? I probably think in my lifetime it's been about a dozen. Stephen, as always, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Oh, hey, Kate. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. How many times have you seen The Ten Commandments?
I can't count. It's one of my favorite movies.
I love it, too.
You know, there are two movies to me. They're like going on a ride, sort of. So even if you've seen them a ton of times, you get caught up with it. It's The Ten Commandments and It's a Wonderful Life. And the one thing about The Ten Commandments, whenever they start to get close to the freedom, the Exodus, and leading up to the parting of the Red Sea, the ratings go way up. So it's almost a tradition that more, you know, it's a long movie, 3.5 hours, and more people tune into it as the story, as they get deeper into the story.
What was the behind-the-scenes tale about Cecil B. DeMille making this? It had to be an incredible undertaking.
It was incredible. You know, it actually starts back in the 1920s. DeMille had a contest asking people what his next movie should be, and somebody wrote him a letter and said, if you break the Ten Commandments, they'll break you. And he paid the gentleman who wrote him that letter $1,000 and decided to make a silent film version of the Ten Commandments. And this was back in 1923. And you know, DeMille was such a determined filmmaker. You know, a lot of things went wrong. They transported the sphinxes up Pacific Coast Highway, and the tunnels were low, so a lot of them got decapitated. They had Orthodox Jewish extras, and the first day the caterer served ham sandwiches, so there was a revolt on the set. You know, all these problems that went way over budget. And finally, he got a telegram from Paramount Studios saying, when are you going to finish this? And he said, well, what do you want from me, the Five Commandments? And he finally finished the movie. It wasn't all about the Exodus. Part of it was the Exodus, and then part of it was a modern story set in San Francisco about two brothers, one who kept the commandments and one who broke them. And the movie made a ton of money, but you know, critics like Will Rogers were saying things like, it's easy to see where God left off and DeMille began. Anyway, as the years passed and the technology got better, he wanted to remake the movie, and of course there were new things going on, like CinemaScope, you know, in the 1950s, and he decided this time he would focus totally on the Exodus. And so he cast Charlton Heston. He wasn't the first choice, but he wanted William Boyd, who played Hopalong Cassidy on TV, but he turned it down. And Charlton Heston, the reason he got the role is because he broke his nose in high school. And DeMille had seen a bust of Moses with a chipped nose, the Michelangelo bust. And so that's why he felt Heston would be perfect for the role. And it was just an amazing endeavor making that movie. I mean, at the time, it was the most expensive movie ever made in history. The Exodus scene, there's no computer generation there. There's anywhere from 20 to 30,000 people in the scene. And DeMille did things like back in 1927, he made a movie called The King of Kings. And the star of that movie about Jesus Christ was an actor named H.B. Warner. Well, DeMille was always loyal to his actors, and H.B. Warner wanted to be in the movie, and he was desperately very sick. So DeMille sent a limousine to his rest home, picked him up. He was carried onto the set. He plays an old grandfather who wishes for a fig tree to be planted in the new world, and he did the scene, and then he went back to the rest home, and he died like a week later.
Oh.
And yeah, and also DeMille himself, when he was doing the Exodus scene, part of it was in Egypt, part of it was in Hollywood. When he was doing the part that was in Egypt, he climbed up to the top of a ladder and started supervising everybody, and unbeknownst to his casting crew, he actually had a heart attack, and he didn't tell anybody. He checked into the hospital, and then, you know, they said, well, I guess you're okay, and he was able to go back to the set the next day, and people didn't find this out till later on.
Wow, and the set was so elaborate. Somebody told me something. Is this true? They buried the part of the set, or some of the set was buried In the sands of Santa Maria, outside of Santa Maria, California?
That's right. That's for the silent version. Yeah, the silent one, the original one in 1923. In fact, they have a little exhibit up there, you know, like a DeMille tourism attraction. Yeah, because you know, it was too much of a hassle back in the 20s to drive that stuff back to Hollywood. You know, especially with the low tunnels they had on PCH. So they decided to bury it in the sand dunes up there in Guadalupe, California.
And
it was a tremendous hit. Unfortunately, DeMille was such an inferno of energy even when he was in his 70s, and I think you can see that with his actors' performances, like for example when Charlton Heston comes into the temple to get the grain for the Jewish slaves, and he starts pushing people out of the way. I mean, that's the way DeMille liked to do things, you know, just bigger than life. You know, the critics, they never really liked his movies. I mean, I'm sure some did, but most of them, you know, would make fun of him and then say things like, oh, his movies are run of DeMille, you know, make these little remarks. But the public always, almost always appreciated his movies and gave it outstanding returns, especially this one, gave it outstanding returns at the box office.
Yeah, no kidding. And we'll be watching for that, certainly. We got to ask you this. You sent me a note about it, and I thought, oh, absolutely, we need to talk about this quickly. But in the world of politics, which I know you're a fan of watching what's going on, obviously we do that here on America Tonight. Donald Trump is speaking out about all kinds of things with Obama, and obviously people say it's either an act or he wants to run. And they're trying to compare, some people are trying to compare him to Arnold Schwarzenegger. What do you think the big differences are between Schwarzenegger and Trump?
I'll tell you, there's a couple big differences. Number one, the California recall in 2003 was a very compact period. It was only 2 months. So Schwarzenegger only participated in one debate. So he kept the lead pretty much. And you know, Schwarzenegger did the typical thing. He went to town hall meetings, pre-picked crowds, put himself in a position where he was kind of a blank slate, where people could write whatever they wanted to onto his tablet. I mean, for example, he would do things like saying, well, we're going to have an audit in California, and after we have the audit, I will decide what to cut. So he didn't have to be specific about what exactly he was going to cut. I don't think with this long time period that Trump will be able to avoid debates. I was thinking maybe he might, because, you know, to give him credit, and I'm not really a fan of his, but he was upfront about certain things like being pro-choice, for example. What Trump is doing, he's going around in interviews saying he's pro-choice, but he's talking about his personal life. He's not talking about the judges he would select. You know, if you look at his on Facebook, he has his preliminary platform. It says pro-life, but respects the laws that allow women to make the choice, which means he's going to put pro-choice judges on the bench, or at least he's leaving it open to do that. And so, you know, how long can he keep that up? In debates, that stuff is going to come out. There's also, another element that Trump's really going to have to consider, being a germaphobe, all the handshaking he's going to have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big deal. You got to shake a lot of hands. Always entertaining, Stephen Shohet. We'll talk to you again next week. You can pick up a copy of Stephen's book at any of the major book stores. Certainly go to Amazon.com. Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. Stephen, thank you. Have a great week.
You got it, Kate. Thank you.
Coming up around the bend, we're going to be talking about the Kentucky Derby, the horses. I'll tell you, there's a couple horses I like, including Uncle Mo, but that might spell trouble. Stay with us.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Welcome back to America Tonight. I have a question for all of you listening. You know, we've got our big Derby challenge coming up. Mark it on your calendar. We're getting close. May 7th, Run for the Roses, my favorite day of the year. Here's a question. Will the factor be a factor? And how about Uncle Mo? Maybe neither of those horses are going to be in the money. Maybe it's going to be somebody completely different, like Dialed In, Nick Zito's horse. The man who knows all about horse racing. He is the guru of horse racing. I feel so fortunate to have brushed against his brilliance. He is gracing us with his presence. TK Lawless from Relentless Racing Stables joins us on ATN. Hey, TK, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you?
Did you like that build-up? I gave you a princely build-up.
I tell you what, I may not be able to live up to that, but I'll do my best.
All right, first of all, let's talk about Uncle Mo, because that's the horse that a lot of people who maybe aren't even paying a lot of attention to racing keep hearing over and over again. Uncle Mo gets a lot of the press, but what would you say about Uncle Mo now at this point?
Well, I tell you, I could have saved them all a lot of money 3 or 4 months ago. I said at the time that I thought they were making a huge mistake. He was very impressive as a two-year-old, ran off in all three of his races, was champion two-year-old, and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs where the Derby's run. So there was nothing but a lot of hype about him. But, he's by Indian Charlie. He's a little bit suspect on his pedigree to get a mile and a quarter. There have been some other Indian Charlies that, were a little bit distance challenged. And he also had a very, let's say, less than ambitious schedule as a three-year-old to get him ready for the Derby. They were going to just have two races. At first, they were going to go to Tampa Bay Derby and then to the Wood Memorial. Then they called an audible there and went to a little race that was written for him at Gulfstream Park, a one-turn mile. He won that pretty handily, but it was really nothing more than an allowance race against three or four horses that didn't have much shot. They went into the Wood with not a whole lot of bottom under him, if you will. And was beaten fairly soundly, actually ran third, And it wasn't a very good race to, you know, under any circumstances. I mean, he got away with a slow, easy pace early, and he still couldn't finish and was outrun by Toby's Corner. I'm trying to think of the horse that ran second who got injured recently. But so Uncle Mo ran a pretty lackluster third in the wood. Supposedly came out of with a gastrointestinal, if you will, virus, is the scuttlebutt at least. And so they're treating him for that. They're going on to Kentucky, and they're going to decide in, you know, how he trains leading up to it. But as of now, he's still going to the Derby.
All right, so Uncle Mo might be out of gas, and the factor, from what I understand, I talked to someone today. I was talking to someone on the West Coast, and they were saying that the factor who was not in the Arkansas Derby, he was supposed to be the favorite, right? With all these victories. Well,
yeah,
he was there, but
he
was home. He went home in seventh place, rather. So he didn't take
right.
I mean, he didn't take the Arkansas Derby. He came in seventh place.
The people in Arkansas decided they would, maybe teach him a little bit of a lesson. Joe Petalino, the trainer on JP's Gusto, I guess he decided that, it was okay for Baffert to come in there and win, but he was going to have to earn it. You know, last time the Factor came in from California, ran the Rebel Stakes and got an easy lead and went wire to wire and just drew off. Nobody challenged him early, and he just kept going. This time, going a mile and eighth in the Arkansas Derby last Saturday, they knew that he could get the distance if he was allowed to, you know, walk on an easy lead. And so they decided that wasn't going to happen. JP's Gusto shot out of the gate, took the lead early. Dan City actually even hit it, the Factor, and the Factor was laying third down the backstretch. You know, horses hadn't raced it three or four times, and it was an unfamiliar position for him to be back behind horses, and he didn't take to it very well.
Right. Wow. So that sounds like to me that I don't know that I want to put my money in that direction.
Well, there have been some questions as to his pedigree as far as getting a mile and a quarter for the Derby anyway. You know, a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May is a pretty tough thing, even for talented horses. Everything has to fall just right. They have to have the maturity, that early in May. Some of them, there's been horses in the past that won the race that were not even actually three on the calendar. Even though they're all three on January the 1st. So, you know, his pedigree is such that he could probably get the distance maybe even a little bit better than Uncle Mo, but his seasoning wasn't as much. And you know, like I say, he got in behind horses the other day for the first time, and he wasn't real keen on it. It'll be interesting to see what Baffert decides to do with him. I think they're both – I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go unless he's got an injury or something minor wrong with him. I would expect that he and Uncle Mo will still go to Kentucky. But we'll find out here in the next 3 weeks.
All right, two horses I heard that had great, had the fastest workouts in the morning. They did a couple of workouts. Decisive Moment and Stay Thirsty. That was on Sunday at Churchill Downs.
Right.
And they turned in some really, really good times. So are they horses to look at?
Well, I tell you, they're going to have to step up, obviously. Decisive Moment, he's run around the country and been in, a lot of races, but he's been pretty much, he's run third and fourth and things like that in a lot of the prep races. So they're going to have to step their game up, but it's always nice to know that your horse, takes to the track at Churchill Downs, because it can be a little bit quirky at Churchill. A lot of horses, that's why some people like to get in there early, two or three weeks before the Derby and give their horse two or three works over it, because it's a lot of horses need to, to get used to it. So it can be a little bit odd.
Yeah. Who do you – I mean, of course, they're saying 20 horses. It always starts off that it could be a big
there's
field.
Always,
and you don't know.
There's 20 nowadays. And they hadn't scared anybody off. Had Uncle Mo ran off in the Wood Memorial and the Factor ran off in the Arkansas Derby, I think maybe there would have been a possibility that maybe, there wouldn't be a full field of 20. Recently, though, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's pretty much a 20-horse field. And people, sometimes people show up that maybe shouldn't. But it's such a spectacle now that, if you've got any chance at all of going, the people want to go just to be there. Dialed In, Zito's horse was very impressive. I actually had him in my stable mail as a horse to watch when he broke his maiden last November in his first start of his life at Churchill. And he came back and won the Holy Bull, his second start of his life when the allowance race didn't fill. He's a little bit short on seasoning, too, but he did win the Florida Derby coming from off the pace, way off the pace, and a real speed favoring track that day. The problem he's going to have in the 20-horse field is he's got one running style. He drops way back and makes that one run. Julien Leperoux has been able to get him in the right position in a couple of these prep races, and he's been able to get up and win. But in a 20-horse field, that's going to be that much tougher. But, you know, Zito's pretty good at the Derby, and, Robert LePena, the owner, you know, they had Warpath Champion Tour a few years ago, and they had Icebox that ran second last year. So, I mean, they know how to get there.
All right.
I think obviously Dialed In's run good enough prep races to win it, but he's just going to have to get the luck of the trip. He'll have to get one of those Calvin Burrell up the rail between horses, never a stick in his path, that type of trip to come from dead last in a 20-horse field.
Yeah, no kidding. Somebody wanted me to ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes left, TK, but how about Mucho Macho Man?
Hey, you know, he's a good story, and he's kind of my sleeper right now. He's going to be a little bit forgotten. He was very impressive in the Risen Star down at the fairgrounds in New Orleans. He came back in the Louisiana Derby and threw a shoe right out of the gate, stepped on himself and ripped his shoe off. So he ran around with a little bit of a messed up foot, and the shoe ripped off probably for the whole mile 16th race. He's a... odd. It's an odd story. He's a June 15th baby, so he won't even be a three-year-old, and he's like 17 hands, so he's kind of a boy in a man's body. He's just kind of learning, and he'll there'll be a lot of press on him because his trainer Kathy Ritvo, had a heart transplant. Not to mention that now they've got the Village People are all on board with Mucho Macho Man, so they found out they've got a horse running one of their namesakes, and so they're gonna. That horse is going to get a lot of publicity and press, and I do think he's kind of a sleeper who may be a little bit forgotten by the betters.
Yeah. Have you? We've got a minute left, but just a quick story. You've been to the Derby. Have you been to the Derby before?
I've been to the Derby one time. It's probably been 16, 17 years ago, and we've been to the Breeders' Cup a lot of times, but I just happened to go to that Derby that once, and that was it.
Who won the year you went? You remember?
Unbridled.
Oh, you went on a good year.
Yeah, he ended up winning the Breeders' Cup Classic that year also. So
yes.
he was a pretty nice horse. He was one of my favorites for a long time. Even he was a little bit of one of my favorites before even, but he came to be one of my favorites after that too.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was just a wonderful horse. TK, we want to pick your brain as we get closer to the Derby. Can we do that?
Sure, no problem at all. We got there'll be some other horses, Arch,
and others to talk about.
Derby, and that, there was probably more people in the winner's circle there than there was when your cousin won it with Smarty Jones. That was a hot springs festival. I'm sure there was a big party in Hot Springs that night with Jinx Fires, the trainer, and being from Hot Springs, and John Court, his son-in-law, rode the horse. So it was a family affair, and it looked like there was 150 people in the winner's circle.
Yeah, I bet. So there's another tip for you. TK Lawless, Relentless Racing Stables, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.